Hello, everyone. We are pleased to bring back our special guest from before, Mr. Mike Meyer. Welcome back, Mike. We're happy to have you. You just recently announced your involvement in Sports Hub STL, which is huge. We're very excited for you. It's an upcoming media outlet for all things St. Louis sports on demand, and it starts tomorrow, the 17th of February. So we'll be seeing a lot of your work here soon. We just want to hear all about it, and then we'll talk shop about St. Louis hockey, USA hockey, Four Nations, and any prospect draft stuff you might have on the surface that we can dig into. Happy to see you. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, we always appreciate you coming on.
Hey, love it. Love it being able to be here with you guys. You know, you guys are great guys, and so it's hard not to be able to say no. So, you know, you guys
we appreciate it.
So, yeah, super, super happy to be able to join the folks here with Sports Hub STL. You know, great, great opportunity. You know, some legendary folks here from around St. Louis sports radio. I mean, you've got Randy Carricker, Brooke Grimsley, but then you've also got other folks like Mike Claiborne jumping into the mix. You know, there's so many people. Like, if you're into Cardinals baseball here, which, you know, if you live in St. Louis, I'm sure it's hard not to be. But, you know, you've got you know, local guy here, Brennan Schaefer, you know, hard not to be a huge fan here of him, but it's a huge star-studded cast. You know, I mean, there's so many different people here. There's no way I'm able to name off all of them, but you know, super happy to be able to come on board here with them and represent and you know, just be able to cover as much Blues hockey and prospects here as I can here for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. It looks like a heck of a group that you guys were able to put together, and I'm very excited because I think we definitely will be following along through it and just kind of see where it goes. So what is going to be your role with them going forward?
Yeah, so we will have me specifically here. So I will be covering just any bit of Blues content here that I can possibly get my hands here on. I'm going to do my best here as far as game coverage, as this is not going to be my primary role. I have to be able to make sure I can be able to balance out everything here as possible, but I'm going to be trying to bring forth here at least several different articles here a week, again, covering what's able to come here for the week. If there's a time here for weekly recaps, we can be able to do weekly recaps. Again, I'll be able to do some small prospect coverage here for them as well. So if you're interested in finding out some more information here beyond just like what I do with Blue Note Rising, then we can be able to take a look here through that. Basically anything and everything I can possibly get my hands on here in the world of Blues hockey, I'm going to be able to do my best to bring it forth here with this network.
Awesome. So I have a question for you. Are you going to be able to kind of sneak your way into like media outlets, you know, interviews, stuff like that? Or is this still kind of like Blue Note Rising in a sense?
As of right now, it's still in a sense like Blue Notes Rising. We are working on like what it would look like for a media credential process. But because it's still so new, like, you know, it's kind of order of operations here at this point. Yeah, so that's the end all goal. As of right now, no.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And is it going to, it's going to be like a subscription service where you'll pay for like the Sports Hub, or how's it going to be? Is it just going to be like mainstream all out there for everyone?
Mainstream all out there for everybody. From what I know is that there's going to be, I think eventually some sort of like a paid premium service that comes along here with it, you know, essentially almost like a Patreon, you know, join that for extra coverage, extra. But as of right now, you know, this is all live here at your fingertips, so that you can be able to just grab on demand, you know, everything here possible that you want to have coverage for, you know, all digital.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm super excited. This has made me even more excited about this because I thought it was going to be just like a pure out like subscription service based, but knowing it's just going to be mainstream makes it even better. I'm very excited for this. I'm super excited for you. But I think kind of jumping into still your Blue Notes Rising, how are you feeling about Otto Stenberg down in the AHL? What's your early take on him so far?
Yeah, so I'm loving Otto. You know, Otto, you know, he's only got 2 goals, 7 points here right now in 13 games, you know, very, very small sample size. But for some people, you know, they're going to look at this and say, okay, he's got 7 points in 13 games. Like, it's not mind blowing here at this point, but to kind of keep a couple things here in mind. So I went back, again, here he's got less than 20 games. So I'm like, okay, so where is he realistically at based on like when he officially jumped into the fray? Because when he started here on January 16th, 17th here, something like that, he is actually second on the Thunderbirds here in points from that point forward. He's only behind Dvorsky here in total points, and he's tied with the defenseman Samuel Johansson here right now for second on the team here in points. So all of that to be able to say he's doing well. He's doing very well for himself. All the Swedes, they're very well-rounded, defensively responsible, 200-foot players. He is being deployed here more like in a middle six role at this point. But if people are looking at the depth charts, they're looking at this like, why is he only getting like third line minutes? Why is he so low here on the depth chart? Like, he's really not. This is a very, very loaded roster here at this time. And so when you're looking here at these lines, it's like it's a 1A, 1B, 1C with about as even of deployment here as you can possibly get. So at this point in time, I think that he's become one of the most influential players here on this team as they're looking to be able to push here towards the playoff spot.
Yeah, I think that's what we had kind of looking at it. He just seemed to fit right in with that group, and I think that's good if you're a Blues fan right now. And not to say he's going to be on this team next year, but I think in the maybe a year after, so we're probably 2 years out, but I think he'll be an impactful player on this team going forward just from the little bit I've seen of him so far.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not really expecting him. I mean, unless he just comes out and just grabs a spot, I'm really forecasting him to still be down in the AHL all of next year. You'll likely have one, maybe two different people from the Thunderbirds next season come up and snag those spots. And so that just elevates Stenberg just that much more and his responsibility that much more, which at that point in time, that's where you're really going to need to be able to pay attention to see how he's doing. And I think there's going to be a bit more pressure on him at that point in time. But for right now, I'm loving what I'm seeing here. Some of the folks I've been talking to who are with the Thunderbirds organization are just like raving about he and just the Swedes in general who are down there.
Yeah, that's, I think watching this team down there, it is stacked, like you said. And the other guy that I think a lot of Blues fans have kind of forgot about, but I know you tweet about him a lot and you've talked about some opportunities, and Nikita Alexandrov. Honestly, in my opinion, is kind of having a resurgence and like kind of really coming back into that form that I think a lot of people saw him coming up. Mm-hmm. What's your take on him? I think he could be a guy that I would like to see in this final end of the season come up and play some up here, but I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, absolutely. He was here, I believe it's a second round pick, several years ago. He's 24. So in terms of where he should be at, realistically, a second round pick at 24 should be playing in the NHL. Realistically. That's not always going to end up being the case. You've got some late bloomers who still go on to have really good careers. I don't know if he's going to ever become a full-blown top six forward here in the NHL. Like, I don't think that he's going to be that type of a player. But I think as we've started to see him become more of this net front presence, responsible here all over the ice here, getting good, all situations, I think that's the strides that you've seen from him here this season. And that's going to lead him to potentially be a very well-responsible either bottom six forward here throughout the rest of his career. If he can keep elevating his game, be able to make sure that he's elevating, his skating here more than anything, I think he could work his way into a consistent second to third line player. Very unlikely he becomes power play, but I think he could become very instrumental here to like a penalty killing unit here as well. So I'm still holding out hope for him to be able to make it to the NHL on a consistent basis. And hopefully not one of those, to be able to use, I guess, baseball reference, the quadruple A type of a player, where he's like a really good triple A player, but he's not quite there for the majors.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's exciting to see him kind of come back because you want the best for him because he is a guy that just seems to work hard. And yeah. I think as a Blues organization, that's all we ask our players to be is just go out there, be blue collar and grind. And it seems like he's turned into that guy down in Springfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's done a really good job. And I can't say enough here, about the leadership that's come on, you know, the veteran leadership that's with Springfield here right now. I mean, you look at Matthew Pekka, Matthew Luff, you know, just built to name just a couple of those guys. You know, I'm sure they've been very instrumental to guys here like Nikita Alexandrov, as I'm sure that he was getting in his own head. I mean, I'm speculating here, but this is a guy who, again, was drafted fairly high in the NHL entry draft. And then he's struggling to like find his placement, whether it's in the AHL, the NHL, where does he go? How does he develop? Keep his head on straight here. And you know, these guys are monumental when it comes to development, you know, and whether he does become just an everyday career AHLer, you know what? He's still better than 99% of people who are out there. So he's helping him, I believe, just be able to make the best here of his situation and hopefully one day be able to make his way back.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Now, out of anybody else on the AHL squad, do you think, I guess minus Dvorsky, right? He's our top guy. Do you think any of them are going to crack the roster for the Blues?
For next season or for this season?
I would say next season.
Next season.
So, and this is where it gets tough because you also start looking at like contracts. Because as much as, you know, some of these guys could be able to come up, Dylan Peterson may be able to, just as like that fourth line grinder type of a player. Kaski Maki could be a very sneaky addition here. Johannesson, if they continue to move alongside here of him, could be another guy to be able to grab a bottom pairing role. But again, it also depends just like on a lot of these contracts, you know, and so these guys may be ready even right now to be able to make their way up here to a bottom six or a bottom pairing role. But the Blues just have so many contracts that it's going to be very, very difficult for them to be able to just get moved. And so you always have guys who are just over marinated down in the AHL here at this time. And so you're hoping that it's not going to stunt their development, but just be able to name a few. I mean, those are the guys who I think that could still make sneaky pushes next season.
Yeah. I think with that and saying we have some guys over marinating, I think the conversation, especially with Four Nations going on.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing some of these guys are going to become expendable and moving to get something. And I think Mike and I have talked about how nice it would be to get Brady Tkachuk. And I think current players on this roster and some of these prospects would probably be highly touted for Ottawa. Out of our prospects, who do you think they would be willing to part with? Or you would be willing to part with in a deal, which I know it's going to hurt because you got to give to get.
Yes.
So I just was interested in who you're willing to kind of part with.
Let me pull up my list here just really fast. I need to. Ooh, that's.
Sorry, this was a game time decision here.
No, I just you're good. Stanzel is an interesting one because of his performance at the World Juniors. You might be able to sell high here on him. Tkachuk is a very interesting one. Like, and I'm not overly familiar here with Ottawa's depth chart here right now to see what they absolutely need. Mrsic is a really interesting player because, again, like he's the Blues' top performing prospect.
Yeah.
So would you be willing to be able to give up a dynamic offensive prospect who could make it to the NHL, who could become a dynamic offensive force, who insert here could with the preface. So I think if you could be able to get a game breaker here like a Brady Tkachuk, I kind of think it's worth it. I kind of think it's worth, you know, and because I mean, again, like all these guys are prospects and have a large could attached to them, but they never have played a single day in the NHL and there's no guarantee that they're going to ever make it to the NHL. So
I think those are
some of the guys that you can take a look at. If they're looking at defensemen, I mean, you obviously, you know, you've got Lucas Fisher, William McIsaac, Matthew Mayich, who could all become interested defensemen. You're able to make it one day to become, you know, a potential top four defender here in the NHL.
Yeah, would you say like untouchable players, your Theo Lindstein, your Stenberg, your Snugger, and your Dvorsky, in your opinion? Or do you think any of those guys would, if the right deal comes, are you willing to move them?
In the right deal, I personally am willing to be able to move anybody in a right deal.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the hard thing. You know, you look at, you know, you never say never because, I mean, again, in the NHL, like when you had guys like Brett Hall moved. You had Wayne Gretzky moved. Like, you had all of these guys moved. But in the next season, those respective teams went on to like win the cup. So if you believe that you are one season away, one trade away, and say, we need that guy, I'm willing to make a deal.
Yeah. But
we put that question out to our Twitter followers, and they said some pretty funny stuff. But one guy, his name's Steven, shout out Steven, he just said anyone.
Yeah, so literally anyone for him.
Anyone for Brady. So, I mean, the interest is clearly out there. Just parting with somebody that you might know or see is playing well in the NHL, you know, like that is something that is hard for fans to do. But at the end of the day, it's a business, as we always say.
Yeah. I mean, heck, you had Brady, Mikko Rantanen move here just, just a few weeks ago. So,
and then they get, then they go get Natchez, who's on a career year, and he's just performing out of his behind with McKinnon, of course, and it's a win-win technically, but unreal stuff.
It's crazy, just because I think we're at that point where someone's gonna get moved, and every Blues fan is gonna be like, oh, but like I think we're at that point, and Usain Stansel, that's the one where I'm like, man, I don't want him to go. But like we said, it's the could be. It always is the could be.
Right.
And that's one of those that I wonder if he does make that jump to the American Hockey League sooner than later, and what he looks like coming into camp next year. But I think we're still a couple years out on a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The one other prospect, I have two other guys that I have some questions on. Colton Ellis, how you're feeling about him? As the Blues organization, we really don't have many goalies signed. I think it's Colton Ellis,
Zarenko, Will Cranley.
Yeah,
and that's really about it.
And that's my question. I was like, and some of these guys are starting to get up there in age. Like, we're getting to that point where you're going to have to make that decision. Do you see him having a shot within the next 2 years, like once Binnington's contract comes up?
Absolutely. Yeah. He went on, how many years ago here was it? It was a couple of years ago that he had hip surgery. Was not widely, newsworthy material, because you're talking about a guy who's like in the ECHL. Like, okay, cool. Then again, you also didn't really have very many people covering the prospects at that point. So I'll just say that. And so Colton Ellis has come on, and he has taken the number one starting role, like, without question. Looking back, I mean, just this year, and just because, this is the information I got pulled up here right now, just in 2025 here so far, he's played in 12 games. He has 374 shots against in a .936 save percentage. I mean, he, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why this team is performing so well. When I looked at it this season, Ellis was a top five in shots against, despite playing, it was at least five games fewer than like everybody else.
Oh, goodness.
So they're letting up a lot of shots, but Ellis is turning them all aside here like crazy. He's 24. But I really think that he's going to be, like, if he can be able to continue, he absolutely has all the tools to be at least a 1B.
Okay.
A very solid platoon goaltender. And the way that the NHL here is going right now, with the schedule, the demand, with the skill set that's faced here in front of them, a valuable 1B is just as valuable here as a second line center here at this point in the NHL. So, and it's needed. So Ellis, I think, between he and Hofer, I think are going to be your next two 1A, 1B split, similar to Jake Allen and Ben Bishop could have been in the NHL.
I was wondering, because I think for a lot of us, we still have to think we're still a couple years away before that playoff push.
Yeah.
And what is Binnington going to be like at that point? And when is Hofer become that 1A guy? And I think that, knowing we still have some 1B guys down there, and I think you have some options in the minors with your goalies. Mm-hmm. But I think also we're going to get to the point where some teams don't have goalie prospects that are closer to being able to play. And we have those guys. wrapping it up with some defense prospects, the only guy I really had here, I was going to bring up Adam Jurkić, but he seems to be very injury prone right now and is out again, which is kind of scary to me. I hope it's just, is it his knee? Do you know anything about his injury? I just know he's out injured again.
All that I've heard is that it's lower body. Cannot confirm that. What, like, there is not a this is absolutely confirmed, right? This is pure speculation that it's believed that it's lower body. I feel so bad for this kid. Like, I really feel so bad. He came back. He had that nasty knee-on-knee injury that was a total, I mean, just a dirty play. Played really well in the World Juniors. He came back. He was still playing pretty darn well. He was not seeing top pairing minutes in Brantford. He was seeing second pair minutes. Great. Totally fine with me. And then he's back out again, you know, and it reminds me of that scene from Wedding Crashers where he's like, it's down again. I look every time you're down on your ass. You know, and but like, unfortunately, like, what you don't see is like just the ugly hits that this kid is taking. And I don't know if it's the fact that like he's not able to get out of the way of those and it's his own fault, or like he is just having like a horrible string of luck. Yeah. So what I had heard was that there was potential that he was going to be coming back here today, Sunday. They opted clearly not to go to play him. You know, he wasn't in the lineup here for today. So we have to hope in a couple days, like he's back, but he's still been labeled here as day to day.
Okay. And then the other guy, Lucas Fisher, I love his game. He seems like a great leader. He seems like he is just offensively dynamic. And I don't know when the last time we had someone that I felt this excited about, like offensively dynamic coming up through the system.
Yeah.
For me, it's probably going back to like Jake Wallman at Providence. You really felt pretty good about him.
Yeah.
Or a Vince Dunn kind of coming up. But like Lucas Fisher seems like he has potential to be a really big upside guy and a guy that could be that power play quarterback in the of the future if he gets here.
Yep. Yep. Easy top four defenseman here for the future. He's got 14 points in his last 15 games here, including there was a hat trick here, I believe, that he scored back here on the 16th here of last month. So and since then, you know, he's gone on a massive tear here with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goals in 8 games. He cooled down here as of a bit, like once we kind of turned to February, he's cooled down with about 1 assist here in the last 5 games, but you know, that's cool with me. He's one of 4 captains here, I believe, in the Blues prospect ranks. So it's nice to see several captains, you know, that we're seeing coming up here. But he's on pace for a career season. You know, he's looking like he's going to be able to hit 38 points. Last year with Sarnia, he hit 34 and 68, and he's on pace to hit 38 and 51. So
Not too bad.
No, not too bad here at all. So he's the guy who I think you could see signed soon. But again, we also look here at same thing with Theo. You know, he's staying over there in Sweden. You know, he's playing up against men, but there's not really very much room for him. So do you just sign him and then assign him to the ECHL? I mean, it's an option. I think that could be a very good route that you see the Blues take here with him, because I think he's able to make the jump.
Yeah. That makes me feel really good.
Yeah, that's your boy. You've been talking about him for a while.
Yeah, I'm excited
for him. Yeah. All right, let's get into the draft a little bit. Can you give us like your top 3 to 5 picks that the Blues might be able to grab, depending on where they are, of course, for 2025?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually, it's really funny because when we were talking about stuff we were going to talk about here for the pod, I had just released my top 5 picks here, at the very least, you know, here for my February picks. So I'm going to list out my 5, and then I'm just going to kind of run through here just really fast, like why I think they should draft him and like potential reasons why they shouldn't. So they're looking here and they're projected as of right now, Sunday, February 16th at 2:32 Central, slated here at 8th overall. So you're looking at guys like Victor Eklund, who, if you watch the World Juniors, he was all over the World Juniors. And I'm yes. really hoping, but I think he's going to get snagged potentially around fifth. But we'll come back to that. Jackson Smith, he's a left defenseman from the WHL. Malcolm Spence from the OHL. Caleb Desornay. I'm going to butcher the French-Canadian name here, that man, and I'm sorry if you're ever listening to this. Radim Mertka and Roger McQueen.
I love Mertka. He's 6'6", so therefore I am willing.
I do not like him. So I'll talk here about him really fast. So super, super tall. I mean, he's the next big massive pillar that's going to be in the NHL here one day. Super reliable. He's going to log lots of minutes here for you. And you've always seen the transition because, he was coming here from the Czech and you're wondering, there's always that big question of like, okay, so when they come from overseas, like how's that transition going to look like? And he's already shown you it was a very smooth process. So I'm not worried about that here at all. My big concern is, he's not a puck moving defenseman, and the Blues really don't have a ton of those guys right now. And so while that's not a massive worry, it's still kind of a knock here against him. He is reliable, but I don't know if he's going to necessarily be eighth overall reliable top pairing defenseman.
I gotcha.
And he's super aggressive. And I love that, but that leads to a lot of penalty minutes. A lot of them. And so unless he figures out a way to clean up his game, he's going to be like a Leo Loof where he's going to be physical, but man, that kid's going to take some penalty minutes.
And we don't need that right now. I feel like we got a lot of guys that already take enough penalty minutes for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll keep Eklund again, smart two-way forward. He's a left winger. I think that it's another forward that we can just add to an already strong left wing core that should be coming up. Very creative, very fast. I don't think that he's very strong, like as far as like a heavy forechecking game. He doesn't really like get very physical, which is not a bad thing, but the Blues really do love their blue collar type of players. His adjustment to North America may still take some time. He's basically playing like in the SHL's equivalent of the AHL here right now. But he's 5'11", 175 pounds. He's not an overly big guy. I mean, for his age, he's fine. But he's going to need to get bigger and stronger as he's going to play up against more of those physical type of defenders. So, Jackson Smith, and feel obviously jump in here at any point in time. I'm just going to keep rambling here about these guys.
Yeah. I think my thing I've always worried about, and I looking at some of these prospects, like, and I kind of had a list of like rough estimated players. Are any of them coming out of the QM, JHL? For me, looking at that league in the transition to the NHL, it seems like it's a longer one in development.
Yes.
I think Bolduc, we've seen the struggle. Kyrou, I think, came out of that league and he took a couple years to kind of really get in there. But I feel like you don't see that as much from at least the NCAA players. I feel like the OHL players transition pretty well.
Yeah.
And I feel like the SHL coming over playing in a professional league. Where is Eklund, you said, is playing in the junior league in Sweden.
Yep.
Of these guys,
he's playing in the Q. He's actually playing pretty consistently on the same line here as Prokhorchuk. Those two are like the dynamic duo here for that team. He is a very smart, defensively responsible player. He came able to play center or wing. I love his vision. Super great facilitator, and he came able to score. He's a really responsible face-off center. I think he projects a little bit more as like a middle six center, may top out at like a second line, which is fine. Be able to say, hey, I'm a second line center here, in the NHL. Nothing against that. But again, when you're talking about an eighth overall draft pick, I don't know, and that's the problem with this draft is that you got like the top three, maybe five guys. And then beyond that, I don't know. It's kind of the same, kind of a pick if you're drafting anywhere from about sixth all the way down to even like 16, they're going to be good additions here to your squad, but they may not be these huge, massive pillars that you may see, you know, coming like a fourth round pick of like Alex Pietrangelo. So that's the hard part.
That was the thing. We had looked at this draft class and I was like, of course we're going to be in like the top 10. And there's not like a guy like a Dvorsky, in my opinion, that you could get at like 10. But then again, this is a weird draft. So I don't know if guys are going to drop in this draft just with what teams are kind of wanting. And it sounds like there's a wide variety, but we're not going to get that guy that's automatically like your first line star for us. And that's kind of what I'm seeing with this.
A guy who could become that though is McQueen.
Okay.
A guy who could do that. He's 6'5", huge, dominant power forward who could be able to come out. He's planning for the Brandon Wheat Kings. And if he develops, this is a game-changing power six, top six forward. So that's something that Blues fans are going to gravitate towards more than anybody. The problem, though, is that he has struggled a little bit with injuries, and that's a bit of a concern. His skating is still a work in progress, but that's fine. You know, that's certainly fixable. But the problem is, like, if he doesn't develop the way that he needs to, you're just looking at another super tall, physical, bottom six forward, very similar to like a Dylan Peterson. Not a bad problem. But again, eighth overall, you know, it's tough to stomach that. So, and you start talking then about a couple of busts that have come out, and especially with the injury concern here now of Juracek. If Dvorsky doesn't pan out, if Snugger doesn't, like, holy smokes, this team's in trouble.
But I feel like as a whole, though, like you look at our prospects as a whole right now, I think this is the best group we've had in a long time. And I feel like we haven't had too many misses at this point. But I agree with you. Like, are we at a point where you're willing to risk it on a guy that's potentially injury prone?
Right.
And the other thing, I feel like they need to add defense in this draft, in my opinion. I think we don't have a lot of those dynamic guys just yet.
Yeah.
Like we don't have the Vince Dunns or the Alex Pietrangelos, or I think a lot of people made it. The Mikola was a dynamic guy that we had to trade just because of the logjam.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is still the bare spot in the cupboard, in my opinion. I don't know what you kind of think about that, but is that kind of right? Or are you thinking we have more than I'm really thinking?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely still need, in my opinion, to add at least one more defenseman. You know, when you're looking here at it, Quentin Burns could make his way, but he's more of like a bottom six, you know, third pairing defenseman. Lucas Fisher may be able to make there. McIsaac may be able to make it. Mayetch is a big maybe for me. Obviously, Juracek is a huge maybe. It's like you've got several guys who are just maybe. Colin Ralph, I have a little bit more comfort here behind. And I'm going to butcher this man. Anybody who's like the European, Russian, you know, anything, like, I always feel so bad. Arseniy Koromyslov. And I'm sure I pronounce it, you know, five different ways.
I probably would have done. So,
yeah. So he right now, he's playing in the KHL. He here has, as I'm pulling this up here, he's 21, 6'5", 181 pounds. This is the dude who has the ability to be able to play both ends. I don't know if he's going to truly be like a power play type of a guy, but he is a guy who could easily be a second pairing defenseman if he were able to make his way over to the NHL. He's playing with, he's on his third team. That's what it is. Third team here so far. He had 5 points on a loan here in the KHL. He had 2 points here with St. Petersburg. And now 4 points in 17 games here with Tractor. So he's on pace here right now, 14 points in 61 games, only 27 penalty minutes and a +4.
Okay.
So definitely not bad, especially for that big of a defenseman. So you got a couple of these guys who, again, like, they could make their ways. They're not going to be your Alex Pietrangelos. They're not going to be your Jay Bomeisters. They're not, you know, they're never going to be those types of guys. But some of these guys could surprise you, where they could turn into the next Colton Parayko. You know, a very, very solid guy who could be able to play here on the top pairing unit and eventually make their way, or could just be a very reliable second pairing. here again between Fisher and McIsaac and Ralph. Those are all guys who I think could be able to make their way up here one day and will play those roles.
It's so interesting to like hear you talk about prospects in general, and you know, it's all a bunch of maybes and coulds, and you know, as a fan, it's hard to grasp the importance of, you know, scouting.
Mm-hmm.
and people like you who go out and write about it, like things change so often and injuries happen, but like those unicorn players that come out, how rare it doesn't seem.
Yeah.
But how rare it is just unbelievable.
It's like Joe Pavelski. I think he was like a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can go to other sports. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He was way back there, you know?
Yeah. With a lot of these guys, like you just never know with a lot of these guys, you know? And again, you know, you've got several guys who are drafted sixth, seventh round who maybe one day will turn into the next top. It's rare that they're going to turn to like a top line center, but, you know, could be one of the next dynamic forwards. I mean, again, you're talking about Tomas Mrsic, who was a third round, fourth round pick here for the Blues. And now all of a sudden he's turning into potentially the next, you know, Jordan Kyrou here at this point. So, and again, like one of his biggest knocks, fourth round, 113th overall. I mean, you know, it's crazy just be able to look back here, like redrafting, you know, these different drafts. You're like, how would these guys have ever missed this? And you're like, it happens. It just happens, you know? And to that point, when you say that, you know, there's all these unicorns that come out of here of it, there's also the pressure that comes associated here with it as well.
Oh yeah.
And that's where I always have the biggest gripe when it comes to fans who are like, oh, this kid was drafted in the first round. He's drafted top five overall. Why is he not here yet? He's also 19 years old. Like, sometimes it takes a minute, man. Like, you know, and like there's just this unnecessary amount of criticism and pressure that's put on these kids to become this franchise altering thing here for these guys. And it just, it's, in my opinion, as a guy who loves the NHL, who loves sports, like it's so unfair to be able to put it on these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we see that with Connor Bedard right now. Like, yes, mm-hmm. he's putting up points, but like, I don't think he's the earth shattering second coming of Sidney Crosby that some people were talking about. And I mean, he's still, what is he, 19?
Yeah.
20? Like, I think it's one of those that in due time, he's going to be a fantastic player, but it's just, he's also on a Chicago team that's not that great. And people, right. I think, and I've even caught myself saying it where you don't notice him sometimes during the game. Like the excitement of watching Macklin Celebrini, for example, this year, you notice him all over the ice, but he's had injury problems. He's been in and out of the lineup, mm-hmm. but he's dynamic. Connor Bedard that first season was that dynamic guy that was trying to take on the world at 18, 19 years old. And it is unfair. We do set those unfair expectations on some of these players. And some are able to rise to that occasion, but some it just takes a year or two, and that's fine. And I think we're seeing that with Bull Duke. We've seen the progression that we're like, he's coming in, he's supposed to be this guy right now, but it's just taking time. And his game has definitely developed, in my opinion, right. but it's just the reasonable expectations.
Right. Yeah, I think people are very unreasonable with Bull Duke. I mean, every time I hop on Twitter and he's not on the first pairing or the first line, like people throw a fit and I'm like, just settle down a little bit. You know, Montgomery is the coach for a reason. He's trying to give him a chance. And if he doesn't do, you know, something that he wants him to do, he's going to sit him or send him down. Like, that's just the way of the road right now for him.
I mean, you saw, if you remember, you know, you had that transition time frame, you know, where you had a guy like Tarasenko, Schwartz, all these different guys who were coming up, they were first round picks, and they were healthy scratches in the playoffs. They were third line minutes. They were getting, you know, and everybody's throwing an absolute rampage on, why was this guy doing this? Why? Because he's a kid. Give the kid a minute, you know, that, you know, just one season, one stretch of deployment does not make this kid's entire career. And that's what I'll say, you know, even about Juracek. Yeah, his injuries are concerning. I'm not going to lie here, but like, I'm concerned. But he's coming back off of a massive injury, massive, massive injury here for him. And it's just one season back. give the kid a chance to be able to have a full offseason here worth of recovery. And again, yes, it's another offseason worth of recovery, but just give the kid a chance. Just give him a chance. And I think he's still going to be fine. You know, is he going to be a top pairing defenseman? Possibly, very possibly. But you don't know that. And the fact that these guys are throwing all this massive shade at him just because he's hitting some bad luck of injuries is, in my opinion, totally unfair.
It's a cruel world out there in the sports world.
It's really an impatient world.
Yeah, it's very impatient.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into Four Nations for our last topic, and unless Josh, you have something else.
No, yeah, I was going to say we can wrap it up with Four Nations real quick and let Mike get out of here for the day.
Yeah. We just want to know how you feel about it. You know, above or below expectations, you know, has it maybe sparked some interest in players that the Blues could go after? Brady Tkachuk, we've already talked about. What do you think?
I don't ever want them to go back to an All-Star game.
I agree. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Ever. It's so funny listening to, you know, you get the big powers, you know, the Elliot Friedmans here of the world.
Yeah.
I believe he was excited, but, you know, you listen to a couple of other guys and they're like, I mean, it's going to be fine. It's this little gimmick. It's, you know, whatever. But then you hear the players and they say, look, you put on that sweater and it has your country's crest on it and it changes you.
Yep.
And it changes your, you know, it's one thing to say like, okay, cool. Like I'm representing the Eastern Conference. Yeah, that's cool. But I'm representing Team Canada. I'm representing Team US. Like that's a totally different dynamic, totally different. And I think that there has been, especially after last night's game where you had three fights in 9 seconds. I mean, and especially Colton Parayko throwing the bombs. Yeah, holy smokes. Parayko.
JT Miller up, man.
Yes. Man, my expectations have been blown out of the water here for this tournament. It's like watching the World Juniors on steroids. And it's everything that you would have hoped to see come from like the Olympics here these days. And maybe it's a little bit better because you're not seeing them play. So sorry, you know, just lesser competition, you know, and it's constantly just best on best. And it's just, you're just constantly watching like a Final Four all the time. You're watching these championship games all the time. And so I absolutely love what we've seen here from Colton Parayko here with Team Canada, especially after Alex Pietrangelo's injury. He's had his role elevated here a little bit more. Shea Theodore's injury, you know, like it's made Parayko that much more dependent upon. Bennington has looked like Bennington this season.
Yep.
So that's a little bit of a concern. I wrote last night and tweeted out, you know, I love to be able to see Bennington had like 1/3 of Canada's offensive performance last night. You know, and I said, you know, you love to see it. And the amount of backlash I got, you know, oh, well, you know, he looked horrible. He looked horrible, you know, okay, sure. He let in, I think, 2 soft goals during last night's game. I can totally understand that. But when you don't have anybody else in front of him performing, when you have MacKinnon, Crosby, Point, Marshall, like you go, list goes on and on and on. How are you totally faulting your goaltender here? Like, sure, none of those guys score, but because he's the one here in net, obviously it's his fault. And it's the cruel world of the goaltender. It's the cruel world. But man, I love this tournament, and I want this every single year.
It's great. It's especially last night, and I think with everything going on and just like the energy of that game is just. If you're a hockey fan, or even if you're not a hockey fan, you tuned in last night, I don't know how you didn't enjoy that game. And I think that's been the best part about it, is that I think it's helping grow hockey, and having that country versus country battle is even better.
Yeah.
And I think Canada will figure it out. And I think Canada will be that team back in the finals, which I'm very excited potentially if they can do it, to see that rematch here in Boston. I think it's going to be, but,
can get 4 fights in 12 seconds.
Yeah. And I think for Blues fans, yes, Bennington hasn't been great, but also like Bennington, in my opinion, is still the best option of the current Canadian goalies. And Canada is kind of at that crossroads where they don't have the superstar goalies anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also a debate to say, like, yes, Connor Hellebuyck is one of the best goalies, but with Russia not being in this, like, I still think Vasilevsky is one of the top goalies. I think Shesterkin, like, there's four countries playing in this, and I think it could grow, and I would love to see this tournament grow, because I still think we have some of the world's best players that aren't getting to play. But it's exciting, and I agree with you that it needs to be the mainstay. Mm-hmm. And I think the talk is maybe every 2 years they'll do this, and to kind of offset with the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to make the years that they would have an all-star game, it's going to make that very boring.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're going to have to do something to somehow fix that and figure out how do we make the all-star game that much more exciting. Because after you have this kind of a tournament, it's just going to seem boring. And the All-Star game is always for the kids. Like it's always for especially the younger fans. And I get that, you know, and maybe they have, you know, how you see like in the intermissions, you know, you have little peewee teams playing against mm-hmm. one another and, you know, take a note, I guess, from South Park's page where you have the NHLers against.
Yeah. It's one of those where I wonder, like, you almost need to go back to East versus West. And the winner, it helps you get home ice when it comes to the Stanley Cup. Like, that's the only way I feel like you could make that game have to matter. Mm-hmm. Because I think the 3-on-3 was cool for the first year, but now it's just like, all right, it's not that fun.
Yeah.
And it just it seems gimmicky almost now at this point. And players don't seem to care.
Yeah.
No. Well, there's no incentive to win.
Yeah.
You have to have an incentive to win for people like hockey players.
Yeah.
And if you can go back to East versus West and have an incentive to win, then it makes sense. But also, like, as bad as this might sound to hockey fans, like, don't pick a player from each team. Pick the best players. Like, have a fan vote. Like, we don't need to have a player from every team if they're not a superstar. Like,
oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
don't go to the Sharks and add, like, whoever, Askarov, just because, you know, like, have the best players play against each other for an incentive, and that makes, with an incentive, and it makes the most sense.
Yeah. I mean, the MLB does that, right?
I think the MLB, it does play into playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying like the players, because I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago where the Cardinals didn't have a single player on either one, you know, on the roster. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, but man, that's where it would get tough. And, you know, you mentioned 3-on-3, and boy, I won 10 men at 3-on-3 here during the regular season.
Yes.
I want that.
Just 10 minute 3-on-3. I think they said they were trialing the 10 minute. They did, I think, are they doing shorter intermissions?
It felt like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think they said shorter intermissions, which they said the players are not for that.
I can see that.
That one, I think, is a little brutal, but I think the 10-minute 3-on-3 is definitely something I would bring back to the NHL next year.
Yeah. They said it was a little bit much, like if you talk about it, especially during the regular season, I think it was Brock Faber who said that. Like, he's like, man, I loved it. If you do it all year throughout the regular season, I could see how it could get super tiring and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, it could. I mean, try not to make it go to overtime, I guess.
Yeah.
But exactly. You know, that's just, it is what it is.
I think two things that like the Women's Hockey League is doing, it's the jailbreak rule on if you get a shorthanded goal, which then the power play's over. And then I think there were rumors of like, what we see in 3-on-3 where it's like, let's regroup. If you enter the zone, unless you turn the puck over, you can't come out of the zone, like the offensive zone. Like say you cross the blue line and you're in the zone, it's a 2-minute penalty if you would come out.
Wow. Interesting.
So I don't know how that would all work, because it's like the whole thing where it's like a game of keep away during the whole overtime. Yeah. But it's one of those that I think there's some tweaks that can make to make it more intense. But
yeah.
That being said, who knows? I think we're seeing a lot of good things come, and I think the cap rising here is just showing that hockey's growing, and that's awesome. And for us, who are into the media aspect of hockey, we cannot say thank you enough for that, because that's just more job security for us.
Yes.
But that being said, Mike, thank you again so much. We love having you on, and we are so excited for this new opportunity you're getting. So much appreciation to everything you've done for us. And we've made really good friends with you. And I appreciate that more than anything out of this.
Yeah, it's always such a pleasure to be able to either see a text pop up here from you guys or, you know, to be here on the show, man. And I'm just looking forward to talking rest of the season, talking draft, off, you know, whatever that it may end up being. And we'll keep chatting.
I appreciate
it. Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Good luck. We'll see some of your work tomorrow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, folks. Thank you again to Mike. And this is the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL. Have a great day, y'all.